All right, the Audible is on the air, presented by our good friends at Aquafina. John Congemi with me. I'm Kim Bocamper. And John, the football season's over, man.
It's over.
Yesterday was it.
What an entertaining finish.
Oh, my goodness. It was remarkable. I mean, you're watching that game. They're down by 28, and you're going, ah, geez, another smelly Super Bowl game. And New England, at least New England didn't win. You can take that. And then, man, and it's hard to argue with everybody after the game with the comments that, hey, hard to argue Bill Belichick and where he stands and Tom Brady about being the best of their of what they do. You know, you look at Don Shula's numbers and the whole thing, and I know he's got more wins and everything, but, man, you put 7 Super Bowls, you put 5 Super Bowl wins, both for Brady and for Belichick. Pretty remarkable the run they've been on. And not only that, but to punctuate it with a game like that, with the biggest comeback in Super Bowl history going into overtime, it was pretty crazy.
With the lead the Atlanta Falcons had, Bo, we were talking before we came on the air, everything had to fall in place
for
the New England Patriots to even have a chance to win that game, and it did.
And only one good thing had to happen for the Atlanta Falcons. That's it.
Right.
One good thing.
They needed to make one more score, whether it's a field goal, whether it's a touchdown, whether it's a safety, any type of score,
or
hold the football.
Or stop a two-point conversion.
Yeah.
You know, two-point conversion to me is always one of the more difficult things in the National Football League to do. And for New England to do it twice and make it look easy twice was shocking to me.
The New England Patriots almost gave everybody around the NFL a reason to say, you know what, we're not going to kick the 34 or 5-yard extra point. We're just going to go for two because they did make it look so easy. But getting back to your original point, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, the New England Patriots – hey, hats off. They did an outstanding job of getting that team riddled with injuries, just like everybody else has those injuries to deal with around the National Football League, and finding a way to get the best player in the league, in my opinion, Tom Brady, to do it just with anybody that comes up. You know,
doesn't
James
matter.
White, whether it's Deion, the back, whether it's Blunt, whether it's it doesn't matter who's at wide receiver, the rookie on the outside, or Edelman, or Amendola, it doesn't matter. You know, tight end, you lose Gronkowski, doesn't matter.
Yep.
They found a way to win, and congratulations to the New England Patriots, and it did not look like they were going to be crowned Super Bowl champions.
Well, you looked at New England in the end of the first half, beginning of the third quarter, when Atlanta, in their second series, took the ball down and scored the touchdown. They just had to look a losers on them. I mean, their heads were down. Every ball that Tom Brady had put right in the middle of guys' hands now was a foot away, and they couldn't make the catch. And you know, this wasn't working. Hey, this thing's going downhill. And I tell you, you got to give it for a team to stick with it like that. And look, things happen. Things fell their way. And all of a sudden you realize, hey, we're back in this game.
That's right.
You know, and you kind of wake up a little. You kind of wake from that sleepwalk. But they were in a deep sleepwalk, that football team.
They had every reason not to win that game. Yep. And you look at the New England perspective. We talk about Atlanta finding one more play to keep away and put away the New England Patriots. The Patriots had no reason. They had no business being in that game the way it started. But they just kept at it. They just kept at it. And they knew Brady was going to have to throw 50, 60-plus times and had a high rate of completion and still make plays. They had a conversion on fourth down.
Yep.
They had big third-down conversions. I don't think there was a sack against Tom Brady possibly in that second half on third down, where Atlanta, when they were trying to stay on the field, they had a bunch of bad plays on third down. They were only one of eight, I think, on third down for the entire game. So they just could not sustain anything on the field, given the cushion that they had in that football game. And Matt Ryan's got to just be looking at himself in the mirror saying, you know, I just needed to make one more play. Throw the football away. Nothing spectacular. Just don't do how the scenario ended up after the big play to Julio Jones, because it looks like the Atlanta Falcons were going to, you know, kick the door in.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So anyway, so that's the Super Bowl. Season's over. The next season now. Get started.
That's it. Everybody's
get started.
0-0.
I know the NFL league, the league season doesn't start until March 1st, but believe me, they're hard at it now and turn in another direction. The other thing that was
I feel bad about Bill Belichick, though. He wins a Super Bowl,
but
he's four or five weeks behind everybody else.
Look, geez, you know, he won the Super Bowl 4 weeks behind. Yeah, but you got to be. Well, you're going to get a big wad of cash in your pocket. You're going to get another big giant That's ring. Right. You just cement your Hall of Fame even more than you already cemented the Hall of Fame, and you get to bring another trophy home.
You know, Bo, people were talking about all you know, greatest of all time. Yeah. You know, Belichick, Brady, and I thought guys today made a little bit more sense. I was kind of perusing around and listening to everybody talking about giving their opinions. It's funny because. You know, it all goes about guys that have done it before you, whether you're a player or a coach. You know, everybody kind of thinks, you know, way back when, well, it's Halas and then it's Lombardi, you know, and then you kind of move into the Chuck Knowles and the Don Shulas and you move past all those guys. And for Bill Belichick to get to where he's at, you know, he had to look upon those guys and they sent the benchmarks.
Yeah.
Just like at quarterback. Yeah. And I think in my mind, and you always go back to your guys in those eras, right? So, you know, all these Super Bowl championships, Tom Brady, yes, greatest of all time. You know, he's trying to cement that with that win, that Super Bowl victory that come from behind. Absolutely. But there are guys before him that sent benchmarks that thought never to be broken.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there's that little kid. In the backyard somewhere, and a coach that's going to be able to do what they've done.
Look at how dramatic the rules have changed in the National Football League, in particular on the defensive side of the football, and then on the offensive side of the football, where, quite frankly, to me, I believe, and I said this way back when Ryan Tannehill came in the league, there's no better time in the National Football League to come in and start as a rookie, as a quarterback in the National Football League. They're protected more than they've ever been protected. And that was back then. This 5 years later, they've even been protected more. Guys run down the field carte blanche out there. There's really very little that defenders can do to stop receivers. There's another thing that you have going for you. So there's changes. I'm just following when you said. Those changes are going to continue to occur.
Right.
Who knows 15 years from now what they're going to be playing out there. You might have a quarterback throwing for, geez, you know, Joe Smith from, Punxsutawney State threw 605 touchdowns in three years or some ridiculous. You know what I mean? You just don't know. And look, just because Tom Brady has five Super Bowls and is probably and should be considered the best quarterback in the National Football League, you could still argue for a lot of guys and say,
absolutely.
Hey, let's just look at your ability versus his ability, throwing the football, this and that. Because Tom Brady, quite frankly, you know, he's made his living, certainly in the last 10 years, within a 15-yard period, with a 15-yard distance from the line of scrimmage. You talk about all these people go, Ryan Tannehill's a game manager. You just saw the best game manager ever to play the game in Tom Brady, if that is your criteria for being a game manager.
And the Atlanta Falcon defense had a remedy for the best quarterback of all time early in that game. You make Brady move his feet, make him reset, not feel comfortable. Boy, they were just a count off, you know, in those passes. You know, if Edelman gets bumped as he's breaking stride and they miss by a yard, you know, another pass on the outside. Yeah. I think Dan Amendola, Edelman hits it off his fingertips, misses by a half a yard. But all those things, Atlanta affected the way those things occurred.
Yeah.
And that's the answer to any really good passing game and good quarterback. Yeah. You disrupt the timing, and the Atlanta Falcons just couldn't do it in the second half.
You know, and you look at it, and you might be able to say that Atlanta hurt themselves by not keeping the ball longer to score. What, they had 19 plays in the first half offensively?
They only ran 46 plays
in the
compared
whole game.
To 90-plus.
And you look at, you know, I've always, for me, you know, 60 plays to me is the average.
Right.
You figure offensively, defensively, 60 plays, somewhere around there. 60 is going to be the base number. Yeah. Maybe 55, maybe 70, maybe 60, you know, somewhere around there. But that's about the number. And you can see, hey, you're watching the Audible presented by our good friends at Awkwafina. If you're watching, this on Periscope. As I've been told as of late, you can just go to the bottom of your Periscope page where there's a comment section. Send your question in. We'll go ahead and answer your questions as we go along. You can watch us on a rebroadcast beginning tomorrow on the Miami Dolphins Facebook page. And about an hour from now, we'll be up on the Miami Dolphins website, MiamiDolphins.com. So that's how you can catch us. That's how you can get your questions in. What do you say, Johnny? Let's get some questions here.
Yeah, let's do it.
Nathan and Megan's mom, always the first out of the chute. Enough about New England. I'm with you on that one. Let's talk about Jason getting in the Hall of Fame. That was going to be the subject I was going to go to when I kind of meandered my way back into it. But Jason Taylor, first ballot Hall of Famer, certainly well-deserving. I know there were some people, and I think we all kind of thought that, geez, I don't know, first ballot, that's kind of reserved for, you know, a certain group of guys. But to see him get in the first ballot was great. Well deserved by him. And you know what? I got to congratulate Armando Salguero from the Miami Herald, who represented represented the Miami Dolphins, and Jason Taylor with the Hall of Fame Selection Committee. You got to thank the Miami Dolphins because, you know, they did a lot of legwork getting the information out, trying to put a program together to support Jason Taylor to get him going.
Seth Levitt,
who's been with Jason for a long time, and I believe that Seth went with Jason to get him to where he's at right now in the Hall of Fame. So congratulations to him for all that, but everybody involved, and certainly congratulations to Jason Taylor.
Yeah.
Well-deserved, and like everything he's done since he became the Miami Dolphins, he handled it with a lot of class.
You know what? Congratulations, Jason, number one. And you know what? You're right, Bo. There's so many great players. I'm talking about the greatest players. You know, the separation, guys that didn't make it compared to the guys that made it, is so slim. And for Jason, it's an honor.
Yeah.
A first ballot Hall of Famer, you know, personally, I'm not sure. I mean, he was right on the bubble there. Has nothing to take away from what Jason did as a professional athlete. It's so hard to do that. And there's so many quality names that he's going up against.
Yep.
So congratulations, Jason Taylor, one of the family in the Hall of Fame, first ballot guy. And I know that this summer in Canton will be an exciting time for him.
It was great to see his kids there with him when he got
awesome.
The word.
Awesome.
Well, it really couldn't have been.
Matt and Jeff
better.
Did a great job covering that.
Yes, they did. Laying low. Atlanta could have taken a knee when the field goal range and kicked a field goal to go by two scores. Well, no team's going to take a knee and kick a field goal with that much time left in the football game. But here's the conversation that everybody's having. That's the decision. Why didn't you just run the ball twice in the middle of the line of scrimmage, put it in the middle, kick your field goal? You're up by three. You're up by three scores at that point. And the game, for all intents and purposes, would have been over. Now, my rebuttal to that was, well, I believe at the time Matt Ryan hadn't made a mistake.
No, he hasn't.
His quarterback rating was perfect. That offense, who hadn't been on the field very much.
Just made a couple big plays.
Made big plays, hadn't done any wrong. And I do believe that Kyle Shanahan, the offensive coordinator, and Dan Quinn, if they talked about it, said, hey, you know what? We've got them where we want them. Let's put our foot on their throat and smash down on it and knock them out of this football game. Because I think that's the mentality of offensive coordinators.
Well, you can't give the New England Patriots and you can't give Tom Brady that opportunity of life, and they had it. So I think that was the mentality of the Atlanta Falcons there. I think that was the play call. I want to go back, and if I can remember in the game, they bring pressure, but it was middle pressure that ended up flushing Ryan to his right and getting the sack.
Yeah.
A lot of things had to happen. Remember, the back goes down for the Atlanta Falcons. They bring in Freeman on another set of downs, and he doesn't even look outside, and that causes another, a bad play for the Atlanta Falcons. So in that set of downs, I think it was second and 11, you can run the football twice, but you felt like you had momentum.
Yeah.
I don't think the play call was for Ryan to hold the football for very long. It was a bad play. One, as a quarterback, you can't take a sack there. You got to be able to throw the football away. So a couple of bad things happen, chain reaction. You're back, and then you get a penalty for holding on a positive play, and you're out of field goal range.
Yep. And that was it. I mean, look, it's an argument can be said both ways. Should they have run the ball? Yeah. I mean, but it's easy to second guess and say, they should have run the football when everything is going your way and you feel like you're just, every time you're rolling the dice, you're rolling seven. You're going, man. You're going.
Well, I think you don't want to put yourself in a situation that you run it on second and 11 and you get a tackle for loss and you're kicking a 48-yard, 49-yard, 50-yard field goal. And, even though you got a quality kicker, you don't want to put that guy in that situation. I agree with your mentality of, I think that's where they were at. Let's step on their throat. Let's get in the end zone. And there's nothing New England can do about it.
A couple other things that happened last week and kept looking forward to. I guess Saturday night was the night they did that. I don't watch that show. I have a hard time watching those kind of shows. But so Adam Gase, we're hoping that he would get the coach of the year.
Right.
That went to Jason Garrett from Dallas. And Cameron Wake thought he'd be the comeback player of the year. And that went to Jordy Nelson from the Green Bay Packers. So thought those were both going to come the Dolphins' way. And look, both of those guys certainly well-deserving had they won the awards. But hey, look, they got Coach Gase has something to chase after next year.
Hey, both of those guys did an outstanding job of coming in as a first-time head coach and coming back after a horrific Achilles injury and shortening that timetable and ramping himself out, talking about Cam Wake and being able to be a guy that doesn't look 30-ish. Yep. You know, he looks 20-ish. Yep. And coming in and being able to affect the opposing quarterback and really being a leader on the defensive side of the football. So congratulations. Both guys have something to build on now. Two people at different spectrums in their careers, but still trying to achieve the same thing and playing the game we saw and watched yesterday.
Yeah, and congratulations for the job they did and just fell short of those awards. So I just wanted to get that out there. At Finns Alex, who do you believe will be the change of pace back to Jay next year, Kenyon or Damian? Well, if you say change of pace, I'm looking at Kenyon Drake.
Yeah.
You know, guy's a lot more speed. He's got ability to really bust it out there and can really take. Now, Damian's a little more of a tough guy, catch the ball out of the backfield, tough runner, where I think Kenyon has a little more of that home run hitter. So if that's what you want to consider a change of pace guy, I would think that Kenyon Drake would be the guy in his second year.
I would move change of pace to explosive potential. Yes. Yep. And I think that's where you get Kenyon Drake. I think he's a guy you want to figure out how do we get the football in his hands, not only on special teams, but running the football and catching it out of the backfield, because he has that game-changing speed. He has moves on the outside and just straight line speed that can make an ordinary play into something spectacular. So I think that's probably the guy. But and Damian is no slouch either. I like what he gives to this football team because he has grit about him and he just has a knack for making plays. When you need 7, he gets 9. You know, when you need 4, he gets 6. Yeah. He's a guy that you can count on.
He's a football player. I mean, he plays great on special teams. He'll catch the ball. He'll run hard for you. And it seemed like every time he came into the game, he made an impact play.
And I think his head coach trusts him.
Yeah, absolutely. Football. Absolutely. But Kenyon, like you said, he's a guy that's certainly a home run hitter type of guy. So, you know, they're but look, I think the Dolphins running back position.
Good spot.
Very good spot for the Dolphins. At King Edlin, if Kenny hits the market, will we lose him? Joe and I talked a lot about this last week and really for the last couple weeks with Kenny. Free agent, unrestricted free agent. There's been talk that Philadelphia's kind of got a sharp interest in him. If he hits the market, there's going to be some people offering some money.
Absolutely.
There's going to be just how much the Dolphins, what their
where's their value?
What they feel like the value is Kenny. I know they want Kenny back in a bad way. I know Kenny would like to be back here, but it's a money matter. It's always going to be a money matter when you're an unrestricted free agent and you only have so many opportunities to get those big contracts that Kenny's looking at right now with these guys. Hopefully the Dolphins will follow the path that they've been preaching since the season's been over. We want to keep our own.
Mm-hmm.
Job one, keep our own. That means Kenny. That means extend Jarvis. That means extend Rashad. That means Andre Branch and some of those guys like that that you can move on with. So, I'm kind of on the side that's a little tired of watching our guys go elsewhere and make big plays and play in playoffs and Super Bowls. Let's keep our guys and let's see what we can do with
them. In the age of free agency, it's always tricky to write down a number on a piece of paper to say, this is where I think your value is at.
Right.
Because there's other teams with a bigger pot of gold that might escalate that number and maybe it's not realistic.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to decide on if you're the player. Do you go after the money? And if it's there, and no hard feelings from fans and from organizations because that's your job. You have a short window and you want to be able to make as much money as possible. But do you want to have some type of stability? Do you want to grow something with an organization that has given you fair market value? And that's the thing as a player and an organization you have to be fair about and decide. And whether it's $6 million, $7, $8, who knows what that number is going to be. But somebody's going to set the precedent.
Yeah.
You know, the Dolphins are going to have a chance to test that market and give Kenny an opportunity. But I think, when you have teams like Philly or a San Diego or a West Coast team, that's the other rumor that's out there that he may want to go out west. Doesn't matter which side of the fence, AFC or NFC, where's that number at and what's realistic for a guy like that?
You know, I think there's a couple different ways of going about it. You could go in and say, Kenny, look, here's what we're going to give you. If we're going to give you a 5-year contract, here's what we're going to give you. We don't want you to be a free agent.
Right.
We want you to stay here. On Kenny's side, he's going, well, you look, why should I sign that when it doesn't hurt me to go out and see what's out there? It doesn't change anything.
No.
Changes absolutely nothing. I can find out what's out there. And on the flip side, you kind of hope that there's a relationship, and I do believe that there's a relationship, at least between Kenny and Adam Gase, that you would say, hey, Kenny, look, I understand you're a free agent. Go out and test the market. The only thing I ask you is before you sign with somebody,
Come back. Give us a chance.
Yeah. Give us a chance to see what they're offering you. And if we can match it, we'll match it. If we can't, then, hey, we'll wish you the best of luck. But just do that. Do us that courtesy of coming back. Now, some guys won't do that. You know, there's a you know.
Well, some guys are some agents. You know, well, there's that, yeah. Right? There you have another battle, whether you have a relationship with the player, but the agent's kind of pushing it and going around to say, this is the better deal.
I'll never forget, there was a free agent that came here, offensive lineman, I believe he was an offensive lineman, came here, was happy with what the Dolphins offered him, and this and that, but his agent said, you know what, we got a meeting with Detroit. Let's go get that meeting, and then I'm sure we'll be back with you. Meanwhile, they go up to Detroit. Guy goes up with his wife to Detroit, says, look, will you guys take care of business? You know, the GM's wife's going to take your wife out. We're going to go shopping or whatever. You know, plane's supposed to leave at 5 o'clock. Well, where's the wife? Where is she? We can't get him on the phone. You know, so she shows up about 7 o'clock. Plane's coming. Their flight's gone.
She bought a house.
Goes, well, look, why don't you guys just stick around, spend the night. You can get out tomorrow. Overnight contract signed, done, boom. You know?
You never know. you want to be able to get your guys back because you never know what's going to happen in those
things. I would think that this football team and the way Adam has handled his players, I think that courtesy would be there. But that's what I think. Doesn't mean that it's going to happen.
You never know. You never know. But you do. The way Kenny has worked and the way that relationship has grown. Yep. I think there's enough respect there that I think Kenny would, you know, if that scenario plays itself out, I think it would come back. Yeah.
Hey, you're watching the Audible, you're watching it on Periscope. If you want to send your questions in, just at the bottom of that Periscope page. And if you're watching on Twitter, or if you hear about us and you're on Twitter, you can open up a Periscope account, go and watch us on Periscope, and then just at the bottom of the Periscope page, you can just send your questions in. Right, Leon? That's how it works, right? It's like just going to a message thing and send your thing in. Because I know we had a...
Leon's giving you better information as of late.
I got a letter came in the other day from someone.
What happened?
So he'd been trying to send questions in.
No chance.
But he said it never shows up. And so I asked Leon about the logistics of it. And Leon gives, oh, no, you don't have to do that. You do that.
Well, you know how it goes. It goes from Squatch, and then it goes to Leon, and Leon to Jeff. And then by the time it gets to us... We got no shot.
Well, it's, you know, once it gets through the Mensa meeting on the other side of that glass, then we get what we think is, at Rob Andretti, what will it take for the Finns to get to the Super Bowl? It may take Mario Andretti to get him to the Super Bowl, Rob. But, look, getting to the Super Bowl, that's a hard thing to do, man. I've always thought this, John, and I still to this day believe it. One of the most amazing things I've seen in the National Football League was the Buffalo Bills going to four straight Super Bowls. Because I know how hard it is to get there, and it's like walking a tightrope. One slip, and you're done, and that's it, and the season's over, and you're out. And for them to do it for – and I know they didn't – look, I understand. They didn't win any of the Super Bowls. But knowing how hard it is to get there, to go 4 years in a row, to me, is a great accomplishment. Understand they fell short, and I understand all that. But I still think that's – so the point being is that – you know, sometimes you need luck. Sometimes you need, you know, Joe and I were talking the other day, and someone sent a thing, says something about, you know, how many road games did you win in the playoffs? And Joe and I looked at each other and go, none.
We're always here.
We played in Philadelphia. We played in Pittsburgh on the road 1 year before Joe got here and lost in Pittsburgh. But other than that, we played at home. And that's the luck.
That's where New England's at now.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that makes the road a heck of a lot easier.
You win the division.
That's right.
You're going to get a bye.
Yeah.
You're going to play at home. And if you win that home game, you win that one game, you know what the next – you're in the AFC You're in the AFC or NFC championship game year. You're one win away from winning it. The hard road to go is trying to do the wild card
the other way. Winning all those games, and especially away from home, and you probably were in playoff mode the 3 or 4 weeks prior your first true wild card weekend.
All I know is this: the Dolphins now are closer to the Super Bowl than they were last year. They're leaps and bounds away closer to the Super Bowl than they were 2 years ago. And we hope that next year they get even closer and get back to the Super Playoffs and then maybe move on. Because, you know, you got to learn to play. You got to learn to play in the playoffs. You got to learn to get to the playoffs. They've learned to get to the playoffs. Now they got to learn how to win a game in the playoffs. Then after that, then the chips just roll out on the table.
So important for this team when they went on that winning streak to kind of look around and say, you know what, we can do this. Why not us? Because every other team that made the playoffs, they kind of expected to be there. You know, those teams in the AFC, you kind of expected to see those teams there. The Miami Dolphins had to kind of turn the belief around internally to say, hey, we're a pretty good football team. If we can do the things we need to do, stay out of our own way, eliminate the penalties, eliminate the mistakes, we can have a chance to be pretty good. Yeah. Well, and I think you're right, Bo. They're building – but they still need better players on this football team. There's still a lot of players out there that can help this team win.
You just look at the both sides of the football. Forget special teams because they're in flux with players coming and going and everything. But offensively and defensively, really the only thing you could ask for is either another tight end or another offensive lineman that keeps that line healthy,
right?
So you can stay together. Biggest concern, if you want to get closer to the Super Bowl, for the Finns to get closer to the Super Bowl, you got to fix that defense. There was a good quote last night during the game where they talked about Quinn, about, you know, his defense.
They were last
I saw was I came in, he goes, I got defensive linemen that are small but fast, linebackers are small but fast, and defensive backs were fast. I want speed, 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 much like he had when he was in Seattle. And look, this league is a copycat league. You bet there's a lot of people going to be looking at that, much like the last time when the New York Giants beat the New England Patriots. It's all about where can we find four defensive linemen that we can put pressure on with just four guys and letting everyone else get
covered. Everybody else do their job. Right. Look at that Grady Jarrett last night. He was a beast. You know, he was so hard to block. And that's where the game turned. I mean, they had Tom Brady right where they wanted him in the first half. They were able to pressure him. They were able to make him move around and not set his feet, and the timing was thrown off. So, yeah, you're right. It all starts on defense up front. If you can affect the passing game.
Dolphins can shore up their defense. They take another step closer to a Super Bowl. I'll just give you that much. Dolphin 209, how much money will Landry get? Well, I don't know. It depends on whether they sign Landry now or they sign him, wait until he becomes an unrestricted free agent. I you know what? I'm not sure what those numbers are. Yeah, I think you're right in the ballpark there. $4 million, $5 million, $6 million, $7 million, somewhere in that ballpark.
You know, I think it's going to be $6 to $8 million for Kenny. And I don't know about Juice. You know, when they get around to that,
he's going to be somewhere. He's going to be somewhere in the ballpark.
Yeah, he's going to be in there because he's your best football player.
Yep.
You know, right now, when you look at this team and you look at production and you look at guys that affect the game, Jarvis Landry is a positive influence on this offense. Yep. I think he's the best player on the football team.
He's kind of the heartbeat of this football team. You know, a lot of guys, I've watched Devontae Parker kind of grow and become more of a Jarvis Landry guy towards the end of the season because of watching him. So, yeah, he's a, you know, look, that's got to get done. They got to figure it out. when do we start signing guys? Other teams are working deals now. Well, I think you can sign your own free agents anytime. I think March 1st.
New league year
is that when? I think
somewhere around there. 7th or the 1st?
Something like that. It's the beginning of March. The new year starts. Then you can start – I think you can start offering guys. You can't sign them
There's that window. Yeah, there's a window between offering and signing. The 7th to the 9th, and then I think the 9th starts kind of go crazy.
At Black Man Game, when do we start signing – I got that one done now. A fantastic fella, Bo and John. Shout out to my man, Leon, in the back. Trey doesn't have a chance.
Wow. Shots are fired, huh? In the back?
Yeah, there's a little battle going back. Yeah, there's a little, you know.
Well, Trey's the master of the 9 a.m. to noon, because that's when he gets most of his work done.
Yeah.
Leon's like the late shift
guy.
He comes in and gets, I don't know. Maybe he's doing stuff early, too.
Trey wants his job bad.
Yeah, but Squatch never is doing anything. So we got to figure a spot out for him.
You know, somebody's got to do nothing.
He's on military time, so he's all right.
So he follows that with a question. Maxwell or Lippitt next year? I think Maxwell gets a start. I think Xavier Howard gets a start on the other side. But I think Tony Lippitt's going
to
be in there battling for it. I think if it's me, I put him over with Maxwell and say, hey, whichever one of you guys wins the job, it's your job to keep.
I think you're going to have a battle because he has experience now. More importantly, I think he has confidence.
Yeah.
Well, look, he can play that position in the National Football League.
Yeah. I mean, look, the guy had four interceptions. He made a lot of plays. Challenged a lot of balls, talking about Tony Lippitt, and grew as a guy. And like I was saying, he got the start early in the season, and he got a lot of meaningful plays, a lot of experience, a lot of snaps. and built that confidence that you're talking about. That, hey, look, I'm not just that guy that's hoping to hang on by a thread in the football team.
You know, trying to play this position.
I can play this position in this league and be successful. And now it's this offseason is about me improving what I learned this year.
Taking advantage of what all that hard work and all the completions and all the batted passes and all the interceptions, all the things that you've really built into your toolbox.
Yep.
And now you take it and you try to refine it. You try to take it to the next level. You try to become a better pro. And if you do, you're going to really help the guys that are rushing the passer.
Periscope question, would you trade up in round one to get the inside linebacker from Alabama, Reuben Foster? The kid's a beast, man.
Sure, but if you can.
But, you know, you're sitting there where you're 22.
Yeah.
You're drafting at 22.
It's not a good
There's
spot.
Not much value in that pick moving up-wise. And you probably, if you want to get up where he's at, you'd have to give your first-round pick this year, probably a first-round pick next year. Probably
too many
another,
good players in the draft.
And look, there's
to be
too,
able
many,
to,
too many
to
good
give
players.
It away.
Look, there are 15 cornerbacks. 15 cornerbacks in the top 100 that are good cornerbacks. There are probably going to be six of them.
And they're all underclassmen.
There are
going to
be six of them that go in the first round of
right.
those guys. So there's a lot of good players in this draft. I know the Dolphins. And look, I'm all for a new line. I'm all for a big middle linebacker.
Yeah.
I'm all for it. But I just don't think that. I just don't think this team right now, this team needs to keep their picks, not give them away, and build from there.
Really got to do a good job in the draft. Obviously, every team that's in the position the Miami Dolphins are in, you know, or whether if you're in New England, you still have to do a great job in the draft to keep stockpiling talent.
Yeah, but they're 4 weeks behind.
Yeah,
you know,
dude, that's right.
That stinking Super Bowl got in the way.
Forgot about that.
You know, they're 4 weeks behind.
I feel bad.
Yeah, I feel horrible for that team.
You should do something for them. How about that? You know, but the Dolphins really need to hit and be selective in free agency to help build, you know, to that
get
draft.
That, you know, get that. You know, like I said, to me with this free agency period, try to fill in some gaps, try to build a little depth. Don't go out there after the high price guy and then try to.
It hasn't worked.
You know, get the guys that are out there that you feel can fill a need on your football team and give you that depth that you certainly need in the National Football League right now. Get that done and then take your chances in the draft. I agree with that 100%. That's it, John.
Is that it?
That's it, man.
All right. Well, thank you, Bo. Thanks for inviting me.
Leon wants to leave early. He wants to go home.
Oh, you know what, too? You know what? I'm sorry. I probably spoke out of school. Squatch does a lot, but he's got to go at like 5:15 down to Dolphin Mall. He's looking for like cheerleader audition stuff.
Oh, cheerleader audition. So Trey must be going to him.
Trey's probably going too.
Trey's like a wounded dog looking for a female dog to give him a sniff.
That's all
he wants.
That's all he wants.
Just a sniff. That's all. Nothing more than that. That's it. All right. That's going to do it for the Audible. Thanks to our good friends at Aquafina for sponsoring the show for us. Thanks to Leon, Trey, Squatch, Logan, all the guys back there. Another stellar job by you guys. Stellar is the only word I can
quality.
Use to talk about
quality.
That.
Quality.
All right.
Fine.
We'll see you on Wednesday. Let me give you a heads up on Friday. We're probably going to be doing the show Friday at about 3:30, just so you know, and I'll remind you on Wednesday. That's going to do it for today. We'll see you in a couple days.